Welcome back to the Practically Spiritual Podcast. This is Jessica Palmer of Jessica Palmer Official. I'm a breakthrough coach and personal development specialist. I'm all about helping people ditch existing mode, survival mode, and activate what I call thrive mode. So I've created this podcast in accordance with my mission, which is to create collective change through conversation and remarkable transformational experiences. So grab a coffee, grab a wine, whatever you like at all, and I hope you enjoy this transmission. Welcome to the Practically Spiritual Podcast, Tess Martin.
Yay. Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So happy to have you on here, guys. Tess Martin is my fellow mama, my sister, and she is the cacao mama. So Tess, for those who may not have heard of you before, could you share a little bit about who you be in the world and what you bring to the world?
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me on, and hello everybody in the practically spiritual family. Oh, my words. Apologies. So my name is Tess Martin, and as Jess just said, beautiful fellow mama and soul sister, and also known as the cacao mama. So I have four actual children of my own, and then I also have cacao mama, which is my other baby, if you like, that, if you want to call it my soul mission. This is what cacao mama is. It is the magic, the uniqueness that comes through me that you can't explain. And I simply follow the guidance that comes with it. So that all began for me 2 years ago on this journey with cacao, and having this space of ritual and sacredness to come to through some enormous transitions in my life, knowing that this was going to be a big part of my life. And I've simply followed that ever since.
And, you know, there's quite a few things that I want to speak with you today. Like, the first is obviously, you know, dropping in to explain like what cacao is and, you know, what we can do with cacao, like what we can do together with cacao. A little bit about being in ritual with ourselves as well. I think that's a massive thing that we could probably do an entire episode just on that one thing. I think we need a few episodes, actually. We'll have to get you back on. And also about following your soul's calling, even when it doesn't make sense. So would you be able to talk about that first? You know, following your soul's calling, you know, you experience these massive transformations in your life, and you're like, you found cacao and you're like, wow, this is the vessel.
Absolutely. Oh, so if I take it back to 2018, and I was a part of a business, and I heard all of these leaders in the business speaking about doing the inner work, and I had no idea what they were talking about. I'm like, what is inner work? What does that even mean? And at this point in my life, I had no idea what conditioning was. I had no idea about subconscious patterns and beliefs, about generational patterns, beliefs and values playing. I had no idea that any of this existed in my logical mind. I think deep within my body and my soul, I knew that I was different from those around. I felt very much as if I didn't belong to the world that I was living in. And I couldn't explain it. It was common for me to hear the words, even from my own family at times, of, we just don't understand you.
Yeah.
I've never been able to understand you.
I think so many people can relate. Like, the people that
absolutely
practically spiritual, you know, most of you guys are on your own journey, or you're leaders in your own way. And this is something that we all experience, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. And I feel like, what it comes down to essentially in the end, I'll tell a little more of the story of following my own soul's guidance, but it really comes down to, there is so much courage in listening to that and observe, you know, having experienced that your whole life, in instead of slipping into the space of, I just don't fit in, to, okay, there's a reason that I am, if you like, standing out from this. People are seeing that I'm not belonging to this. Why might that be? Or, you know, for a lot of you, you won't even be able to put words to it. And I certainly couldn't. It was just a deep internal knowing that I really don't belong in this. I'm here for something else.
Makes sense. You know, it doesn't really make sense, but you just know that it's true.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So when I was listening to these leaders talk about doing inner work, somebody on a call, like a masterclass or something, mentioned how they'd just done this online 8-week program. And I was like, oh, that's what inner work must be, these online leadership programs. Okay. And just through beautiful synchronicities, I managed to come across a live with my the people I worked with for the last 2 years, and now I do work alongside them, Jared and Abigail, and of Limitless Love. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I was actually getting in bed to read my book. I don't even know what book I was reading at the time, but I just needed some time out from the kids. And I turned to Aaron, I said, I have to go and just read my book for half an hour. Can you please just take the fort for a minute? I jumped into bed and something said, open your phone. And I was like, why do I need to open my phone? But I did it. And there was Jared, and he was live with Alexi Panos. I'm like, wow, okay, this guy's, I don't know who he is, but I'm like, he's live with Alexi Panos. So yeah. I watched that live and I had no idea who he was, but just again, that internal calling of you need to work with them. So I contacted Jared, and long story short, I did their online program. I worked one-on-one with Jared, and then straight off the back of that, so this is in the space of 3 months, I did their 8-week program, a pretty intense 10 hours of one-on-one work with him, and then went straight to Abigail's Awaken the Divine Feminine retreat. And that was the first time that I sat with cacao. And it was in the Pyramids of Chi in Bali. And
I don't know this story, so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting.
Oh, really?
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. So we went to the Pyramids of Chi in Ubud in Bali as a part of the retreat. And the pyramids are positioned and to scale of the Great Pyramids of Giza.
Wow.
Yeah, and they even face the same directions. Like, it's incredible the way that they've built it. Wow. And it was during that ceremony that the message that kept repeating to me was that this was the medicine I was born to work with, and that I was here to open the hearts of the world once more. And I thought, I was like, what? This makes me, I was like, okay, sure. But this internal voice was so strong, I couldn't deny it. It wasn't just a flimsy, fleeting thought. It was coming from deep inside my body. And the somatic feeling of that was just undeniable. So I thought, okay, this is interesting. And then it was during that retreat as well, during an energetic sort of healing session. All I could see for that session was the color gold and the message that I had to move to Bali, it would heal everything, and that cacao would show me the way. And I was like, oh my gosh, what on earth? This makes no sense. But I followed it. That was all I had.
Yeah.
That was all the guidance I had. And I do truly believe that when it is that soul guidance, that soul voice and calling, there are no instructions to it. It is just the deepest, simplest line, expression, message, and you can't deny the feeling of it. So from that, I went home and I sat with cacao in ritual, in ceremony for 2 hours every day. And it was like, became my non-negotiable, because I knew that what was to come was an enormous, if you like, an identity death, a crumbling of everything I knew my life to be and who I thought I was going to be. And it was cacao that really held me through that.
What an emergence, you know, for me, as you're describing that, I can visually just see it. Like, it just feels like, you know what I mean? Like rocks of just like you just falling apart, and then you're just like, yeah. Yeah, honestly, just emerging.
Yes, that's what she did. That's what sitting with cacao did for me. And through that guidance, obviously, like I said, this message of moving to Bali will heal everything. We sold up, my partner at the time and I, we sold up our entire lives, packed up our 4 children, like everything. We sold houses, cars, all of the possessions that we owned down to 1 backpack each and our laptops. And we hopped on a one-way flight to Bali. And through this entire journey, it was cacao that held me and held me and held me. Everybody around me opposed everything we were doing. But again, it was just, it felt so right in me, even though from the outside, people literally thought I was losing my marbles, which I can understand. Yeah. I can understand that completely.
How did you navigate that as well? Because I think that would be really valuable for the listeners to get a bit of an understanding or maybe some tips on how do you think is the best way to navigate that experience when people are saying to you, you're crazy, what are you doing? Like, to not let that impact you.
I think this is where that inner work comes in. And like you said before, there are so many people probably listening to this who have felt like they haven't had that sense of belonging in their life or have been through those phases. And I think for me personally, actually coming to a place of accepting that I had based my life upon trying to gain the acceptance of my family. Mm. But when I did the inner work and reflected back on that, like, I had a beautiful childhood. I really did. But I also realized that everything I did was to try and please and be accepted by my family. And there was a sense of no matter what I did, it was never the right thing.
Yeah.
There was always something better or different that I could or should have been doing. And so I would follow that advice, if you like. I'd do it and it still wasn't the right thing. And it was just this constant scrambling of what am I supposed to be doing to make you happy?
Mm. And it's really
when exhausting. It was exhausting and it wasn't making me happy. And I suppose I just had got to this point, you know, I had 4 little kids and I was living in the house. I was literally living in a house with a white picket fence. And I had, you know, the big family van and the dog and the chickens and the cat. And from the outside, it was like, you should be happy, Tess. So why is this not feeling right?
Mm, yeah.
And it was that knowing inside of me when people were questioning what I was doing.
Yeah.
That I was like, I have listened to this advice and this guidance my whole life. And this is where it's led me. Mm, and
cutting the cord with becoming your own parent or moving away from the parent. Yes. You know, obviously still, you know, we still love them. We're still connected to them and we deeply see the humanity in our parents, but there really is that, I think that's that next level of who actually am I outside of my family, outside of my childhood, who am I? That cutting the cord. I think that's a big step for people who are doing this inner work.
Yes. Yes. And I think I also feel that having had my children so young as well, you know, I was 19 when I became pregnant with my daughter and I'd not long turned 20 when I had her, I was still a child myself and went straight into that role of mothering. And again, just another journey of almost in a way, distracting myself from the journey of finding out who I was.
Yes.
And fulfilling those needs in that role outside of myself. And it just eventually got to this point of I couldn't ignore the screams inside of me that were saying, I'm here, I'm so much more than this. There is so much more to me than this.
Yeah.
Children or no, like, who am I?
And louder and louder.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
You just have to go with it. You can no longer deny it because it's not going to leave you. It's going to just keep getting louder and louder until you listen.
Yep. Yeah. And it got to the point where my physical health was just completely off the rails. My hormones were, I was showing every single sign and symptom of hypothyroidism. My adrenals were completely shot. My hair was falling out. I had acne all over my face. I look at photographs of myself sort of from 2 years ago, and I even show people the photos and they look at them now compared to them. And the instant reaction I get is like, whoa, I know that my body was physically screaming at me as well. And yeah, I had just got to the point where I could not ignore it anymore.
Incredible. So then you moved to Bali. You guys moved to Bali, and tell us a bit what happened. What's happened since you've moved to Bali, and the rest of the journey.
And then what?
and then keep telling us the story.
I will. You know that I love storytelling. So we moved to Bali, and 3 weeks into that trip, it was blaringly obvious that mine and my partner at the time, Aaron, that our relationship was over, that it had truly run its course. And part of the reason that we started the business that we were in when I was hearing about this inner work was we were on this journey to try, and we knew something wasn't right. We knew that we were sort of falling away from one another. And obviously we had the children. So it was this, we went on a journey of trying to fix it, if you like. And it was during that first online program that I spoke to you about with Jared and Abigail during relationship week, where Abby had the courage to, on the Zoom in front of the whole group of 30 people, just pull us up on the camera and say, like, straight up ask us, "So guys, what's the truth of your relationship right now?" Wow. And I just started to cry. And Aaron looked at me with like these beautiful, gentle eyes. Like, he's such a gorgeous heart. And we just both said, like, there's so much love and reverence and respect for each other. But that passion and that fire, and it's all gone. It's just this, basically we were just in this beautiful, deep friendship. And, you know, that is beautiful. But for both of us, yeah, we had then spent quite a few months trying to reignite that, if you like, and continued our journey working on ourselves. But yeah, we turned every stone. And then when we were overseas, it was a couple of weeks in, it became very, very obvious that it really was over. And again, I was sitting with cacao every single day. And I honestly believe that it was that ritual and that non-negotiable ceremony every day that kept my heart open, that actually stopped me from completely closing up and getting defensive and probably going into a lot of victim about it, all of those things. It was constantly tuning in every day to what is the actual truth. And the truth was that our separation, I honestly believe it was very, if you like to use this term, very conscious. We had some really big conversations. We continued to stay together and travel for the next 2 months. Sorry?
It's really inspiring, you know. It's very heartwarming and encouraging to hear that people can consciously, you know, uncouple and maintain a friendship, even when that connection is, because there's a good sense of grief that's happening.
Yeah, there was some really, really late nights through those 2 months where we were up crying and talking. And eventually we all moved to Thailand. And after a few weeks in Thailand, Aaron decided that he wanted to go back to Australia, that he wanted to go back into some work, create some stability, some structure. I think that was giving him that sense of security, you know. But our vision for why it was we set off in the first place as well was for our kids at a young age to have their perspective of the world really open, to experience different cultures, languages, people, ways of living. that was a huge part of our vision. When I came home and I told Aaron that this is what I wanted to do, we really sat with it. We're like, okay, you know, why are we doing this at the core? So I stayed in Thailand with the kids and he came back to Australia. And after that, it really, we started to go through our shit, basically. That's when all the stuff came up and it was perfect. It was really, really challenging. But I also know now I look back and I think we had to physically be apart for that so that I think we didn't hurt each other so much. It could never be repaired.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah,
absolutely.
And like, you know, then you moved to Bali. Now you're back in Australia.
Yeah. And again, through even throughout all of that process, Aaron going back and me being in Thailand,
yeah,
I sat every day, even if all the kids would give me was 20, 30 minutes, I did it every single day.
Absolutely. I think as mums as well, finding those pockets of time, prioritizing the time, you know, a lot of us say we can't make the time. And we can. We absolutely can. Like, it's funny hearing you say, you know, you would sit with Kakao for 2 hours a day. For me, one thing that was really transformational for me is I would every single morning I would get up at 4:30. So from 4:30 to 6:30, I would spend those 2 hours would be my time where I would be in ritual with myself, whatever it is that that looked like whether that was meditation or exercise or improving myself or actually just doing something that lit me up. Like whatever, I didn't really have any rules around it. It was just, but the only rule and boundary is that those 2 hours are my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're so, and like you said, I think it's also letting go of that. Like you said, some days for me, it was 30 minutes. And for those 30 minutes, there'd be a little 2-year-old curled up on my lap while I sat there.
Yeah.
And like, it's just letting go of what it has to look like and just still giving yourself that space is so important. Yeah. And I was like, you know, when we were back in Australia, as we were packing up the house and things, Aaron was home. So I'd do the morning and do the school run, get everyone off to school. I'd come home. And for the next 2 hours, that was my space.
Yeah.
And he would watch Amelie, or sometimes she was at childcare. So, you know, he'd be off working, doing whatever. So we made it work. And then when it was just me, it changed, but I still made it a non-negotiable. It was, I had to keep giving that to myself. Yeah.
And like what I found is the busier that you get in your business, the more people that you begin to serve, you know, this container of service is like growing and expanding, the more you actually need to have those times with yourself. Like you need more time with yourself in order to give more.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You think, I thought it would just be the same. I could just keep doing the same thing, but it's like, no, there's actually so much more that I get to love on myself even more now in order to serve more. It's interesting, yeah. Isn't it?
It is. And you're right. We do. We think that things will just grow and scale, yeah, and we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
But energetically, emotional, like even just as, especially as women.
Upgrades. Like everything, yes, has to upgrade, how you look after yourself, how you, everything that you do, it needs to upgrade.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, the power of being in ritual with yourself. It's incredible.
It is. Yeah. I still believe the greatest knowledge and understanding we can gain is that of ourselves. So I just feel that cultivating that relationship with yourself, like you said, it allows you to show up more for others. But I think there's also a level of compassion and humility that you develop for other people in that process. I think for me anyway, there was a real appreciation that we are just all doing the best that we can with what we have.
And you're so right, because it allows us to be grounded so that we can actually hold that space and actually listen to what we can see the bigger picture and go, okay, this person's pissed off at me or whatever it is. And you can say, well, okay, what is really going on with them? How are they? And then, yeah, like it's, yeah, I totally get it. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I heard like years and years and years ago, like I'm just trying to think how long ago, well, it may have even been 10 years ago, I watched this really powerful interview that Oprah did with this woman. I'm upset that I can't remember her name actually, so I'll have to, I'll go back and have a look at that. But basically what happened is she actually lost her entire family, like her husband, her kids, and her parents in a house fire. And yeah. So she went through this journey of like, and like I get emotional thinking about it, but what she said is she, well, being in ritual with herself, and her ritual was prayer. And what her goal in life is to actually just live a life in a constant state of prayer. And I was like, holy. And I remember thinking at the time, this is before I would class myself as a conscious person. This is like way before then. I was probably really curious. And I, that really touched me. So I reflect on that. And that's one of my life goals. It's like, wow, like how could I live my life in a constant state of prayer? And I'm like, being in ritual with yourself just opens up that space to begin that journey.
It does. It really does. And this is something, oh, thank you so much for sharing that, because this is, again, something I think we learn through being in that deep ritual is, and we're not perfect. I'm certainly not perfect, but I do every, as many times a day, I try to bring my awareness to each moment, each action, everything I do is a ceremony or
totally.
Of some, so whether that's preparing food, I try to be as present as possible. And just focused on what's in front of me. And
connect with that food. Where did that food come from? Who grew that food?
Yes.
And just like, what does it feel like?
Respecting that and giving it your energy and your time. Because like you said, it's a, I have a really deep reverence for the earth and very deep. I feel very connected to the earth. And anything that comes, you know, everything comes from the earth. And I just... even though it may look like something very fabricated and very materialistic, in some way, shape or form, that has come from the earth.
Yeah.
So I do thank you for sharing that. It's such a beautiful way to try and bring yourself back, like you said, to that groundedness and that we're here now. This is where I am. This is where I need to be. I don't need to be anywhere else. Absolutely. Just here.
It gives you the ability to listen. You know, when we can listen and not just respond, it's just life-changing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's been actually a very big message for me this week. Thank you. Is that, was that I taking more opportunity to listen. It was like I had a beautiful reading earlier in the week and it was, you know, how many times can you sit there and actually say, ask myself the question, do I need to speak right now? Or can I bring more silence to this moment?
Yeah.
I was like, oof.
And for anyone that's listening that is a coach, this is my humble opinion. Take it or leave it. But this is my I stand very strongly in this belief. The best coaches, to be a great coach, you only need to do two things. You need to be able to listen and you need to ask great questions. If you can just do those two things, you will be an incredible coach. And this is where being in ritual with yourself, doing things like, you know, being in ritual with cacao or whatever it is, the ritual, you know, it's very individual, whatever that looks like for you, it's all beautiful. But that gives you the ability to listen, to develop those listening skills, because we think, oh, we should just learn how to run a business. We should learn how to speak. Okay, how about you learn to listen?
Yes. And it is, it's, this is something that you do in my experience of you. This is something you have definitely honed. And this is one of your, amongst your many superpowers. This is definitely, every time I have a conversation with you, I feel so heard and so seen and so understood. And you do, you ask great questions that inspire a whole new wave of conversation to come through. And I believe that too. And I believe that the depth in which you can sit with yourself and listen to your own internal voice without interruption and simply allowing it to flow without attachment or trying to find a reason or a rebuttal or a, you know, something else. And then from whatever flows, then asking yourself those great questions. Is the depth at which you take yourself in your own body, your mind, your emotions, whatever it is that's present, you're then going to obviously be of service to somebody else to that depth and that level. And, you know, we've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years, rituals, ceremony, whatever word it is you want to call it. It's actually a part of who we are as humanity, as community, tribe, culture, whatever word you want to put to that. You know, many of us have, believe what you will, but I do believe that we have been here many times before, and I do believe we have experienced multiple things, and there are things that are going, like you said, it's so individual that whatever it is you feel drawn to, whatever it is you feel takes you into a beautiful deep space of presence and peace within yourself, then do that. And you know, once upon a time for me, that was running. It was like running was a moving meditation.
Yeah.
Is that my body was occupied? Yeah. My body was occupied, that those thoughts and things were able to just flow freely without attaching to them.
Yeah.
You know, obviously that's changed now, but that's what it was once. It's been a journey.
Running definitely never been.
But most people, see, that's another thing, you know, so many people wouldn't associate running with being, I mean, there are some, my dad was a pretty big believer in this, that for him exercise was his meditation. And for a lot of people it is, and if that's what works for you, then do it.
You can do different forms. You don't just have to do a standard sitting down meditation. Like, you can move, you can be doing things like cooking food. There's like, it really is infinite the ways in which you can meditate.
Doing the dishes, I've had some of the biggest downloads, revelations, realizations while, like you said, cooking or doing the dishes. Something that's so automatic and so mundane that my conscious mind, if you like, is totally occupied in this, but my, you know, my subconscious and my deeper layers are off exploring all kinds of other things, and that's some of my most profound moments.
Mine are definitely in the shower or recently there's been a couple of driving moments, which is probably not a great thing, but whenever something constantly comes through, I guess it just comes through.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people, that while they're driving, that's their thinking time, their meditation time.
Interesting. I guess it would be good for people that do like long, really long, like a commute for work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast, sister. Before you go, I have four questions that I ask every single guest. So here's the first question. What is your definition of spirituality?
My belief, my understanding and definition, if you like, right now in this moment, is that spirituality is so unique, I feel, to every single individual, and it's the way that your spirit works through you and with you in every moment of every day, however that looks for you.
Beautiful, beautiful. If you could ask, you know, God, source, any question you want, and you're getting the answer, like they're going to give you the answer, what is the question?
Oh my gosh, this is a very nice question. Okay. Did you say what was the question? Now, the question I would ask.
Yeah, what question would you ask?
What question would I ask? I would really love to know if the myths are true.
Ooh.
That's what I would ask.
I haven't heard anyone answer that yet. That's a real
Yeah.
That's very thought provoking. Mm. So the third question, what happens when we die?
Oh. I personally believe in the eternity of the spirit and the soul. Mm. And I feel that dependent on our, oh, here we go. If you'd like me to get slightly spiritual for a moment, I believe that our soul's contract, it's dependent upon what it is in that time and space. So for example, I didn't speak to this, but my daughter passed away 8.5 years ago. And for me personally, her soul, certainly the moment that I had her and that happened, I felt almost like her soul split in two. Half went up and half went straight into my heart. And that is the light in my heart that I now live with and through, is with her. So I believe it's different. Some souls are ready to leave again, and then our body becomes one with the earth once more. That's what I believe. But then for me personally, I feel her so intrinsically that, again, it's one of those things I can't explain it, but I cannot deny it either.
Mm, beautiful. I once had, it was Matthew Liam Gardner. And his answer was he believes that souls intertwine as well.
Yes, that is probably the best description of what I experienced. I know that part of her is working way up there doing what she needs to do. She's like my guide, and then I also feel part of her within, as within so without.
Absolutely beautiful, so beautiful. So the final question, this is fill in the blanks. So this is how people speak about you, you know, how they reflect on you. So the first fill in the blanks is, Tess made me feel
unconditionally loved.
Beautiful. Tess taught me
how to be true to myself.
Tess was always
there for me.
Beautiful. Tess Martin, aka the Cacao Mama. Tess, how can everyone find you on social media or connect with you?
So my Instagram handle is This Is Tess Martin, and I'm just Tess Martin on Facebook. My profile picture is just me, so I'm very easy to find.
Yes, and like Cacao Mama, guys, this is where it's at. Cacao Mama's taken over the world with cacao therapy. And it's just so much more. But yeah, you've got to get on that, guys. So again, thank you, Tess, for being here. Really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Practically Spiritual, the podcast. Be sure to make sure you are following this podcast on Instagram at practically_spiritual. And if you would like to follow me and also sound off, tell me what you thought of this episode. If you have any questions for the guests that we had or any comments or requests, let me know. I love connecting with you guys. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the places, using the handle at Jessica Palmer Official. Keep striving, keep thriving, and I'll catch you on the next episode.